And as always, our Monday regular, Hainsey, ready to get going to the Dome tonight. I wonder, how would you compare your excitement level for the World Cup of Hockey best of three final versus the Flames getting back into some actual games, albeit the preseason?
Well, can you imagine if the best of three World Cup final was Russia versus Team Europe? Wouldn't they be packed to the rafters in the old ACC if that was the case? Yeah, no, my focus is here, local. Let's all the top busy off season. This is early stages, but it's always interesting to see them out on the ice.
Well, what do you make of the training camp? I suppose training camp is now done if we're into preseason games. Maybe I'm wrong, but this is hockey that matters against jerseys that aren't your own.
Yeah, and the rookies had their chance last weekend, and now you'll see a much more veteran-laden lineup, especially at home. That's typically how they do this, where they as a nice reward for being a veteran. Those guys typically like to, I haven't seen the lineups yet, but typically those guys get to stay at home. And because of what's kind of unique this year is the same group that's traveling to Edmonton will then travel directly to Winnipeg to play tomorrow night. I would suspect that a lot of those guys that are kind of on the bubbles for forward and defense spots might find themselves in that group and might get into a quick back-to-back just to make an impression or set themselves back. So I think the games that we won't see will be the games maybe more interesting in terms of the training camp battles.
Yeah, well, where are those battles? We sort of highlighted a few spots up front. We were also sort of the opinion here on the morning show that Chris Russell signing with the Flames is an inevitability of sorts. What jobs are up for grabs?
Well, you know, there's going to be some, if you talk overall numbers, certainly to get to kind of that 14 forwards, there's probably several names that you could slot in kind of from number 12 through number, you know, there's probably six or seven guys I would suggest that are battling for three or four jobs. So I think there's certainly some intrigue around there. And on defense, same sort of thing where there's kind of numerous candidates to kind of round out the defense core. A majority of that will be pretty set, but there will be some battles. But within that, if you were to look more specifically, and that's kind of where I'm at, is, okay, so there's one thing to be who's going to make the team, but then who's going to play with kind of these pairings that we're kind of assuming will still be in place or have been put together, and those pairings being, you know, Gaudreau and Monahan. Let's just assume that when we get to the middle of October, those guys will be side by side. Brouwer and Bennett, who Coach Colin Gulletson says he's really interested to see them together. He wants them to together right now, start building some chemistry. So clearly his plan A is for them to play together. And then Backlund for a league, you would see no reason for them to be broken up. So if those are the three pairings, within the competition to make the team is, well, who might slot into those spots? And that's where I'm curious to see kind of how we might see that play out in some of these exhibition games.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think there's a lot of intrigue surrounding exactly that. We've got these three pairs that we're all confident are going to exist. You can add a fourth pair if you think Bowman and Stajan are going to be anchors on your fourth line, which may or may not be the case. And so the vacancies that are open, the guys fighting for them include Alex Chiasson. You have Chris Higgins, Michael Ferland. I would think Garnet Hathaway's got to be pushing for a job in this roster, although it's more likely the fourth line than the third. And then you've got Lauri Korpikoski on a PTO. Lyndon Vay has been a regular NHLer, but wasn't much of one last year. And then even a guy like Hunter Shinkarik was up late last season. What other names are you throwing in the mix?
No, I think you've kind of covered the main guys there for sure. And yeah, like all of those guys either had looks or could get looks. You know, both Korpikoski and Higgins obviously have some pretty lengthy NHL resumes. You sure get the sense that at least one of those two guys will make it. You know, from everything you kind of heard from Glenn Gulletson, he seems to be a real keen guy to kind of be building the right mix in his room and wants to have some veterans in there to complement the youth. So I would expect one of those two guys to make it. I don't know if it's both. What's interesting with those PTOs, they all have history, right? You know, Higgins has the history with Gulletson, obviously from Vancouver. Korpikoski goes back to when Treliving was in Arizona, and even Nicholas Grossman trying to crack a spot on the blue line. You know, he has a connection back to the coaching staff as well. So they all got here for a reason. You know, time has passed, and Grossman, to me, out of the three, would be the long shot to make this team. But yeah, you know, I'm anxious to see the lineups tonight, just to kind of see where we might see some of these guys may have that chance. chance of that first impression.
Yeah, and you know what? In terms of handicapping who was going to sign, I was sort of the mind when these PTOs started flying, okay, well, most of these guys aren't going to get signed. But the more I look at Calgary's situation, the more I really see Chris Higgins as a fit. Last year was really bad, but just a year removed from some pretty good hockey, a guy that, you know, can flirt with 20 goals, that's hanging around 40 points. And if you're into the nerd numbers, he's a strong possession player all throughout his career up until last year's rough season. Now, was it due to an injury? Has he fallen off a cliff and he's never going to get back to that guy? I mean, I find Higgins the really intriguing one.
Yeah, I agree. And the other thing that Chris Higgins has done a lot of in his days, and I think he is viewed as a pretty good one, is the penalty kill. And this is the of the two specialty teams. I mean, both of them were awful last year. The power play kind of salvaged a little bit, climbed the ladder a little bit near the end of the year, but that penalty killing did not. I think it was dead last, right, pretty much all year. And you know, you're down a guy. You know, Josh Juris killed, you know, a lot of penalties last year. So definitely, that's another theme. Both Korpikoski and Higgins do a lot of PK in their time. So obviously looking to bring in some guys that can help that special unit as well.
Couple more for you. Defense pairings. Are you, if you had to handicap the likelihood of Giordano and Brody getting broken up this year, at least flirting with that early in the season, how would you do so?
I would say unlikely. I mean, that's where I'm at. I think those two guys, they play well with each other. Brody likes to play the right side. It's kind of a perfect blend there. Until I see otherwise, I think those guys would be your number one shutdown pairing, your top pairing guy. And then it's really just trying to see who of a carousel of guys could be that number four guy. I don't think anyone that's going to, unless you mentioned the name already, Chris Russell would be the guy that probably jumps to the top of the list if they do end up working out a deal, short-term deal, whatever it is probably the favorite then to hop on the second pairing. But I would think Giordano and Brody would start the year, and I haven't seen news to suggest otherwise.
Any tea leaves to read with Russell? Obviously, the longer he waits and the more, you know, we think of how much he talked about wanting to play in Calgary long-term, the more it makes sense. But any other more substantial evidence that we can sort of use to put this together, like we're Matlock here?
No, not really. I mean, you know, the Smith thing finally became official on Friday. I think we were all speculating. I mean, it didn't look good right from, I mean, any contact with the GM over the summer suggested that it was really going to be unlikely that he was going to play, but you're kind of waiting for that to be official. So when it was made official, it certainly wasn't all of a sudden the team had to adjust. I think they knew where it was a lot sooner than any of the rest of us knew. It was a kind of a done deal in that regard. So there certainly is a job there. And the way I would look at defense and why Russell is a name that is very realistic is, could this team break camp with seven defensemen that they're comfortable with? And I think absolutely the case is. I mean, they've got the six veterans, Weidman, Engelin, and Joakim Pekka, that kind of round out the top three that we've already suggested. Tyler Weatherspoon could be a great number seven. So you're kind of set, and you could certainly break camp that way. But teams don't operate like that. They want to operate like, well, what if there's a couple injuries? Where's our depth at? They want to have good quality options to be able to call up. And would you be in that situation? Is Brett Kulak, is Chillington, is Ryan Culkin, where are you at with your depth if a couple of guys go down on the blue line? And that's certainly not a stretch. That happens all the time. Players get injured. So that's where I could see them bringing in a veteran and kind of pushing everybody down one slot just to have a little bit of a buffer and to protect yourself. So that's the thing that I would say with Russell, and why it does make sense is, again, with Smead definitely out now, there definitely is a role for a veteran.
Well, yeah, there's a spot. We'll see. I didn't like Hamilton and Russell last year, but, you know, maybe that was more on one than the other. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. I just know that they weren't good when they were paired most of the season. Beyond that, the only other glooming question, and the biggest one surrounding this club, is Johnny Gaudreau going to be in Flames silks come October 12th at Rogers Place in Edmonton for the regular season opener?
Yeah, I mean, the safety net they have there is this guy's in shape. Like, it's not like he has to come to camp to get ready. This guy's been playing high-intensity hockey for the last couple of weeks. So there's definitely a timeline there where there's not going to be a discomfort about where he's at. And so could this kind of come together at the last minute and him in a uniform on October 12th, absolutely. So there's still time, but certainly, I mean, I can't be naive about it. Like, at the same time, we don't sense anything's imminent. Like, you listen to Brad Treliving when he kind of addressed the topic to kick off fitness testing last Thursday, and it was no news, and it really wasn't, it was pretty matter of fact about they're not close, and you don't sense that they're close. So this feels like a game of chicken right now. I've always thought that Johnny Gaudreau and his passion for the game and how much he loves being around the rink. This guy is a rink rat. That's his family. That's his domain, is being at the arena. And I think it will set in pretty soon if he's not hanging around the guys. I think that's a big deal. And I don't know what his wherewithal will be to say hold out and then not. So I think there could be, obviously there's a very big looming pressure point here as we get closer to the start of the season. And I, to this point, I still would be surprised if he's not in the lineup when they head to Edmonton on that 12th of October.
Ooh, what do you have for a history lesson with this? Because I was shocked. We had Peter Mara on last Tuesday at the Flames charity golf tournament, the unofficial start to hockey season here every year. And he reminded us of some holdouts before or some contractual impasses where players missed time. And there were some big names there. There were star players. There were guys that were maybe the best player on the team. It happened quite a few times. And the names like, Nieuwendyk, Fleury, Jerome McGinley I'd forgotten about. There were some, like, this wouldn't be uncharted territory at all. In fact, if we're wise to learn from the history books, we might almost expect a little time to be missed here, wouldn't we?
I suppose, were they in the same point in their career? And Gaudreau is a different player than the others, and we'll see. I mean, again, I've nothing to suggest that is the case. I mean, the evidence seems to be that don't expect a signing anytime soon. And I know the clock is ticking by the time Saturday is October 1st, or we're certainly closing in on October, but you're right. And if he does end up missing time, I mean, I think Calgary's prepared to go down that path. This is not about creating cap space. This is not concerns about the current cap situation. This is a matter of principle at this point about how much you can afford to pay this player after 2 years to make sure you have enough money to fit in and build a championship team around him. So there's, and I think, if you're talking about potentially a 6-7, even an 8-year deal, who knows how long, but they know both sides are looking long-term, then if you have to sacrifice 3 or 4 regular season games, I think Calgary would do that no problem, because the bigger picture is much bigger. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I don't know where the pressure's bigger. Is it the Flames getting off to a slow start this year without their best forward? Because we saw what happened last year with a slow start and how it really handicapped their ability to make the playoffs. And then the flip side is like, yeah, Johnny, where else are you going to make money, big guy? Like, this is what you're good at, and you have one team that you can play for. It is a bit of a stare down here, isn't it?
Yeah, and the other thing that's interesting is how the schedule sets up, where Calgary has a bit of an easier start. They have there's a line in the sand, and it's after 4 or 5 games. I think it's after 5 games, where the early they have 2 Edmontons, a Vancouver, Carolina, and Buffalo, I believe, and then it gets difficult. All of a sudden, it goes from kind of 0 to 60 overnight. So there is a bit of, they could certainly. I mean, you don't want to be without your best player ever, but if you had to, you could probably, if this team is legitimately thinking they're a playoff contender this year, you should be able to kind of reasonably get past, get on without them with that type of a schedule and not kind of be looking at an 0-5. Maybe, if they can kind of go 500 over that, or 3-2 or whatever, that still should be very realistic with the remainder of the team intact. So we'll see. I mean, it does set itself up where they can maybe get away with it. But that said, if they don't, and he's sitting out and they're losing those games against that kind of softer start to the schedule, and I say softer relatively, this team did finish, 26th place last year. So that's all within relative. But yeah, but so that's another, kind of a variable, I guess, to keep in mind.
Yeah, and then, of course, if you lose those games and you're that much hungrier to get Gaudreau back, there's a little more leverage for the agent and the player. Good stuff, as always. Any final thoughts as we get into split squad night here, or should we just enjoy the battles and catch up next Monday, by which point I'm sure we'll be at a lot tighter number than 60?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what, that's 60 players in camp and 40 of them will be in uniform tonight and a few of them are injured. So I would say, I don't know. It'll be good to see. Again, I'm almost more interested to see the game in Edmonton, but I'll be covering the game tonight. So that'll be, I would expect Calgary to have, a far superior roster to what the Oilers will roll in. This might be this Oilers roster we see tonight might be worse than what they rolled out in Penticton. You never know. So we'll see how it all goes. But always looking forward to puck drop and Brian Elliott getting the start tonight and the beginning of his probably one of the biggest offseason acquisitions, let's be honest, is because of the situation behind the pipe. So yeah, seeing him in his red kit in uniform for the Flames will be interesting.
Good catching up. We'll do it again next Monday. Enjoy.
Yeah, sounds good.
Darren Haynes, flamesfromadefeed.ca. He's got a really good piece up right now breaking down the battles for jobs. Five Flames training camp battles to watch. Who's going to play with Gaudreau Monahan? Who's going to play with Bennett and Brouwer? Who will play with Backlund and Frolik? On top of that, second pairing with Hamilton, and who will be the seventh defenseman? So lots of good insights there. And I think the more we look at history, the more I think I'm not expecting a Gaudreau holdout, but I certainly would not be surprised at all to see it.